from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly look at Northern California's science and environment. It's the time of year when backyard gardeners are gathering the last few tomatoes and squash from the summer harvest. But there's one thing most gardeners don't harvest: seeds. Seed saving is a technique that has fallen by the wayside in modern agriculture. That's reduced the genetic diversity of the crops we rely on. But as Lauren Summer reports, a handful of people are starting their own seed-saving efforts.
It's not often you use a good old card catalog in a public library anymore, but here in the Richmond Public Library, there's a card catalog that holds some unusual items.
Sunflowers, peppers, and beans and peas and squashes. So pretty much everything you'd want to get started on a garden.
Rebecca Newburn is the founder of the Richmond Grows Seed Lending Library. It holds hundreds of seed packets, and they can be checked out just like library books.
So it looks like you can plant celery from January through June.
The seeds have been donated from gardeners and from an heirloom seed company. Newburn says she started the library so local gardeners can share their knowledge. And she says the community is responding.
My name is Reynaldo Cortez, and I live in Richmond. I grow a lot of arugula, cilantrito, lots of different kinds of lettuces.
Cortez says he's here because he likes knowing where his seeds have come from. The idea is that after the growing season, Cortez will save some of the seeds and return them to these seed drawers. For centuries, seed saving was the backbone of agriculture. Farmers selected seeds from their best crops to plant the following year. But today, seed saving has largely disappeared.
In the U.S. and other developed countries, it's almost non-existent in mainstream agriculture.
That's Paul Gepps. He's a professor of plant sciences at the University of California, Davis.
Their seeds become an input, just like fertilizer. The selection has been done, but by breeders, either at universities, public institutions, or seed companies.
Gepp says most commercial seeds are patented by seed companies, and it's illegal for farmers to save seeds at the end of a season. Many of the seeds they're using aren't as productive after the first year, so saving them may not be worth it. Gepp says many backyard gardeners have also left seed saving behind, but not at this garden in Berkeley.
Okay, so that's the other main category of seed processing is the wet method. So for plants that have seeds that are in a moist environment, cucumbers,
Matt
melons,
Rogers
squash,
is leading this seed saving workshop as part of the Backyard Seed Vault. It's a project by the nonprofit group Agrariana. He holds up a yellowing, overripe cucumber.
If you want to save the seed, you have to wait until the seeds inside have fully matured. I mean, you know, when you cut open a cucumber to eat, usually those seeds look underdeveloped, they're soft, they're edible.
Rogers started the Backyard Seed Vault to help local gardeners learn the two main steps of seed saving: collecting the seeds and planting a garden. The planting is important because viable seeds are the result of successful plant reproduction, pollination, that is. Some plants, like beans and tomatoes, are self-pollinating, which means the next generation will look like its parent, most likely. But other plants are easily cross-pollinated.
Corn's notoriously promiscuous. Anything that's wind-pollinated, where the pollen travels through the wind.
So if you want to preserve your corn plants, you'd want to make sure that your neighbor wasn't planting a different kind of corn across the fence. Rogers is excited about collecting and sharing seeds among backyard gardeners. Over time, he thinks they can develop unique plants.
Taking a variety that we like that may have been developed in another region and breeding it over successive generations for this climate may produce a sub-variety, a cultivar, that's especially adapted for here.
Rogers says they could also help preserve genetic biodiversity. Today, a wide variety of seeds are protected in international seed banks, highly protected vaults that store seeds at below freezing temperatures to preserve their unique genetic type.
And that's all good and important for research purposes, but I like the idea that the seeds are not locked away. They're in everyone's backyard, and it's sort of a shared account of genetic diversity.
Over at UC Davis, Paul Gepps is concerned that as seed saving disappears, plants are becoming more and more genetically similar.
If we want to have both a healthy nutrition as well as a vibrant agriculture, we need much more diversity. We need many more crops. We need more diversity within these crops.
Geps is holding a jar of bean seeds in dozens of shapes and colors.
You see here very small, dark brown, black seeds. And these are the wild bean seeds that you can still find today.
He and other scientists are racing to find the wild versions of today's crops. As the climate changes and pests evolve, he says they'll need that genetic material to improve crops. Genetic diversity, he says, is like an insurance policy for the future. And like insurance, many of us don't think of it until it's too late. For Quest, I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation.